for about 12 minutes or so. Grab a chair, come and gather. We sing about it, but there is no rival and there is no equal to the name of Jesus, which means there is no sickness, no condition, no disease that even comes close to the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. So we're going to declare healing. And if you've got your hand on someone, I want you to declare the name of Jesus, healing in the name of Jesus as we pray. God, we just believe. We stand on your word that you've invested in us. You've given to us your name to speak against sickness, to speak against disease, sicknesses, illnesses, flus, conditions. And God, we understand that they need to bow themselves to the greater authority, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the Creator of this universe. You spoke this world that we stand in into being with your words. And we declare today healing to be released in the name of Jesus right across this place. Healing in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, your word tells us, we were healed. And we release it right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Beautiful. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand if we're going to. And what I need you to do is just for a few moments be friendly. Go greet someone. Give them a hug. Give them a handshake. Okay, that's enough friendliness. Who says you can be friendly? I did. Aren't they groovy? Aren't our worship team groovy? I love that little. A few announcements before we get into what we're going to do next. That's good. Keep going. I just had that look, didn't I? Prayer meeting Monday nights. I encourage you, if you've got a need in your life or you've got a desire to pray or you're going through something, put yourself in prayer. Monday nights here, 7 p.m. There's a great bunch of people. I know people have come in for a season just to see breakthrough and pray. And some people just have a heart just to pray for church and those around them. So come along to prayer. Lifestyle of Freedom is tonight. Mother's Day. Everyone say Mother's Day. Next Sunday. So I hope you're all organized, got it all together, worked out where you're taking your mum or inviting your mum or a mum. If you don't have one, just grab one. Adopt a mother. But we're gonna honor all the mums Sunday morning next week. We've got special gifts for all our mums, and we're going to bless you. We're going to have a bit of a breakfast beforehand and everything. So don't miss out. This is your moment to shine, where we're going to honor you and you can sit back and just enjoy it. So make sure you come. And on Sundays, we're doing cupcake fundraisers for our kids program we've got coming up in the holidays. So this morning, we had some incredible cupcakes. I don't know if you had some of those. They're amazing. And then we had some caramel slices and everything nasty. It was good. And this is like another service, even though it's Lifestyle of Freedom. And what we do, this is an opportunity for some of our church family to give their tithes and their offerings and their giving. So we're going to take that up in a moment, but let me just pray first. God, we thank you that we are blessed to be a blessing. We understand that what you pour into our lives in terms of blessing and financial blessing, you own everything, God. You own the cattle on a thousand hills, and all that we have is yours. We are stewards of it. And God, we just pray that it would flow through our lives, God. We would be enriched and blessed and have good things, but we would allow it to bless those and come into your cause, your church, and bless, God, the community that we're called to, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. That will be amazing. Beautiful. And I just want to let you know that St. George won today. Who cares? Come on. They beat Melbourne. Yeah, that's a good thing, right? So we're going to jump straight into our teaching. Can someone grab? Julie, can you grab the pulpit? Why don't we give the creative team a hand? Bring it down here. Aren't they amazing? So the lifestyle of freedom is the pursuit for the freedom of Christ in our lives. And that's all we're doing. We're a bunch of people, like-minded, not exactly looking the same. Some of you are young and vibrant, full of life years-wise, and some of us are young and vibrant on the inside and full of life and mature on the outside. Is that how it works? Is that delicate enough? And what we're trying to do on Sunday nights, and it's a different format to a normal service, is we just want to progressively walk with you and allow you to experience the freedom of Christ. Amen? And discipleship is a big word, but discipleship really is where we get around and we get other people to help us grow. Can I just say that discipleship is something that you can never achieve by yourself? You could stay at home and you can build an intimacy with Christ, but you'll never be a disciple. God's called us to be disciples. Amen? Discipleship actually takes the work of other people. It takes other people in and around your life, and that's what the church is all about. So we are called by Christ and his commission to be disciples and to make disciples. Amen? And that's really what you're doing today. You're allowing yourself to be discipled. So later on, in probably 15 minutes or so, we're going to split up into our coaching groups. And if you've experienced it, you know what it's like. If you are new, and I've got a few new people, you can jump into that group and get to know everyone there, and we'll keep moving. Amen? So we're up to our topic, growing up spiritually. And tonight's topic is God is our Father. And this is a big topic because it's something that you need to understand. To know that you've got a Father, Heavenly Father, on your side that is over your life is something that you need to have to grow up to be a good child of God. Are you with me? So let me just start by reading Romans chapter 8, verse 15. You don't have this in your notes, I don't think. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Look at that. We have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about walking out of this fear, this captivity, this bondage that the enemy has tried, and we've talked about in previous sessions, and we're moving into the freedom that Christ has for us. And this is the part that we need to be able to call out of our spirits and understand over our lives that we have a Father. And Abba Father is a very affectionate term. It's like daddy. It's like when I grew up with a great father. Not everyone has a relationship with a father, an earthly father. But I actually grew up with a good father, and if you ever got hurt, you either yelled out the name mum, Or you're yelling out, Dad or Daddy. True? When you got to that place of hurt. Just for a moment, I want to jump into some stats on fatherlessness. Because you know what? In natural, when someone grows up without a father, there's an effect on their life. Come on. Whether we know it or not, there is an effect on our lives when we don't have the full equation that God wants us to have. That's what happens. And this is some stats that have come out of America, so it's a little bit different to Australia, but probably not that different. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homelessness and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Come on. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 20 times the average. 80% of those that are involved in anger and vile crimes come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. When it comes to education, it says children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. It's something that we need to realize. In the natural, our world can say, well, you know, a breakup in a marriage doesn't have any effect, but we know, psychologists know, that it does actually affect people when this happens. I'm not here to condemn anyone who's in a single mum home or you are raising your children by yourself. That's not what I'm about. I'm just out to say that the reality is if you take that father figure out of the picture, it affects lives. Are you with me? So what we need to understand for our growth, is spiritual growth in God, is God is designed. He is our Father God for a reason. There is a role that the Father plays in our lives, that whether you know it or not, there's a spiritual role that Abba Father plays to bring about change in your lives and your growth in your lives. And if you... And look, I had a good dad, natural dad, and you might be in this room today, and maybe you haven't grown up with a natural good dad, or maybe your dad wasn't around, you never knew him. But the reality is for you to grow and to mature in God, that there is the ability to have a spiritual father that is amazing. Are you with me? So if we go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. This is the first point we're looking at here. Let me just go back a bit. There is so much revelation about this understanding what a father does. A father gives us a sense of security, acceptance, safety and belonging, protection and provision. So we're going to have a look at this passage for a moment. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather nor into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, everyone say, your heavenly Father, knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. All of us have worries and cares in our lives, but we've got to have an understanding, a revelation that we have a heavenly, perfect Father that is caring for us. You might have come in, whatever world you've come in from. Maybe you had an incredible natural father who was very caring, or maybe your life was void of that. God wants to care for your life. And it's that aspect, that relationship that we have with a perfect father that allows us to accept the care that he has for us. And when you find yourself in a place of care and worry, you should be able to yell out, "Dad, help." Are you hearing me? Just like I hope my kids yell out, you know, as they get married and disappear. They might be yelling out for their husbands and wives. They'll be fine. And I'll be the second person to come and change that flat tire. But at the moment, I get the call. Is that right, Madeline? Who bought a VW Golf, who I think had all the original tires from what? How many years? Right, they had the okay. That's a good indictment on the tires for the VW Golf. But within 3 months, they all went. Which it got busy, right? I get this call, Dad, like, and I'd have to come out and on the road there. And I think Rachel did one at the back there. She helped out. But you get called on, right? It's Dad. I don't know how to do this. All the dads that have had to do that, all the mums that have had to do that as well, raise your hand. No one. Okay, just me. Wow, I'm going to run a course on how to change a tire. In the Old Testament, the interesting thing is about the Old Testament is they actually didn't see God as a father. They saw him as creator, almighty God, Jehovah, the Lord. But that revelation of God being a father is actually something that was ushered in through Christ. Are you with me? That's quite bizarre. See, Christ changed everything. He brought in this relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He opened a doorway for an intimacy that wasn't there before. We have a heavenly Father. And the interesting thing is we look in here, we see John 16, 25 to 28, Jesus speaking figuratively about his relationship with his Father. Are you hearing me? You didn't hear the prophets talking about. They talked about God, Lord. They talked about who he was, but they didn't talk about Father. But Jesus, he was a type of us, right? Walking through the New Testament. And he talked about Heavenly Father. He spoke to his dad. It says he would disappear up into the hills and he would spend time with his Father. Are you getting it? So to us, we've got this. Jesus walked with this protection that came from his heavenly Father and this direction. We've got the same. Are you with me? You need to realize that everyone in this room, you have this ability to connect with a Father, a heavenly Father that is perfect. Number two, we grow spiritually in this area by hearing his voice. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes in the area when we hear God's word, when we hear his voice. I love this quote from Smith Wigglesworth. I cannot understand God by feelings. I understand God the Father by what the word says about him. He is everything the word says he is. Learning to hear the voice of the Father like Jesus is something that we need to learn in our lives as we progress and grow. Number three. Everyone say number three. We must grow in an area of trusting God to take care of us. You know, if you knew you had the most awesome, perfect dad ready to go 24/7, you'd probably use him a lot, right? You know, dads, I don't know, Marianne grew up with a pretty good dad. He could fix anything. He had the world's biggest man's shed. It was a chicken shed. It was how big? It was huge. It was like, you know, most dads have a shed, right? I don't, but most dads have a shed. But his shed was just literally about the whole length of this building. And it had cars and tractors. And he's that man that had jars. And he had this piece of wood and jars that every screw and bolt you could think of was screwed into this piece of wood. It was nailed and they were screwed. So you'd unscrew the jar and there it was. And just rows of them. So if you had anything, he had it. If you needed it fixed, it was fixed. It was amazing. It's like I was redundant. It was incredible. And when he passed away, it's like now I have to fix everything. But we've got to understand that we have an incredible Heavenly Father. Where nothing is impossible for him. And that revelation floats over your life. Nothing can be more comforting to know that you have an incredible, good, perfect Father. I love this, Matthew 7, verse 11. You then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is a revelation that we need to have in our lives, that we have a Father that is looking with eyes of love and that wants to see our life progress. He wants to give us good things. He wants our life to be something that is amazing and beautiful. He arrayed this whole earth. He gave her its beauty and its detail, and he wants your life to spiral upwards, and that's who you have in your corner. He won't take from you. He wants to add to your life. I think many people come to God with the view that all we've got to give up, but they don't understand that everything that God, their Heavenly Father, wants to give. I grew up really thinking about what I had to give up. But I ran into a revelation of my Heavenly Father about all the things he wanted to give me and wanted to add to my life. Number four, grow in an era of giving God your cares and worries. We've got to keep throwing our cares and our worries on God. He's not someone who gets sick of it. He doesn't get to a point, he goes, is that enough? Oh, man, Wendy's come every week now and she keeps on asking and tell me all her problems and worries and cares. I'm just tired of it. He's not like that. Are you hearing me? He's perfect. Your cares, your worries, he wants to hear them. He's got an ear listening for them. He's focused on hearing your heart. And when you have brokenness, he loves that. He hears it. It says that he bottles every tear. He looks at every tear that you have. He knows what's going on in your world and in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You know what? We've just got to keep talking to him. We've got to keep involving our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we can boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. To realize that we have a perfect Heavenly Father caring for us leaves this, it's a revelation that you need to have in the center of your life. It needs to be around your world. It needs to, whenever you go, maybe you're going for a new job, or maybe you're out there doing something new, and maybe you're trying to get a house, or you're trying to progress in life, you need to know that there is a Heavenly Father that's perfect, that's on your side. I actually do believe, and I've said this before, and I believe that I am God's favorite. Now, you might think, well, hello, hold on, but I actually think I am. And hopefully, maybe my kids in my house think that they're all Dad's favorite. I don't know. Maybe. if you're spreading your love well enough, they could all think that they're Dad's favorite. But I actually think I am. And you can argue with me as much as you want, but you're deceived. You think you're God's favorite, but I am. That might be arrogant, but I hope that you feel that way. Are you with me? Because when you go into a situation, you actually want to know that you're God's favorite. When you're standing in some trial or some test and things aren't going right, you're going to say, God, you're on my side. You're not on their side. I don't care who they are. You're on my side. And God has that ability, and you need to understand and live your life with that. That's the security that God wants you to live with. King David's greatest revelation before anyone else, because he was in the Old Testament, it says that after removing him, he raised him up. Then David as king, to whom Also, he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who would do my will. This is what Father God said. And out of that seed came Jesus. But we understand, see, David, if we go to point six, he was rejected by his natural father. I mean, this is pretty confronting. 1 Samuel 16, verse 10 to 11. Jesse presented all the seven sons to Samuel. Samuel was blunt with Jesse. God hasn't chosen any of these. Then he asked Jesse, is this it? Are there no more sons? And so, obviously, we know David wasn't even in the lineup. So there's a little bit of rejection right there, right? If you got lined up, or you with all your brothers and your dad just conveniently left you off the list, which means there was rejection there. And obviously we know that he was actually the one that God chose. And that opens the door. If you haven't had a natural father, if you've got that sense of rejection, then you have a heavenly father. Are you with me? And sometimes, you know what? I actually think if you've had a bad example of a natural father, you are open to having the most perfect example of a heavenly father. Because it's like you've got a void in your life. You can open that up and allow this father figure and start to treat him that way. These are some of the promises that we have. Psalm 68, verse 5, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. John 14, verse 18, no, I will not abandon you as an orphan. I will come to you. Psalms 27, verse 10, when father and mother abandon me, the Lord holds me close. No matter who you are, what stage of life you're in, whether you had a great natural dad or whether you didn't, you need to live to understand the freedom that Christ. You need to have an unconditional love in the sense of a heavenly father that is on your side 24/7. In the natural, I could read out a list right now of people that have done amazing things in the natural because they had a parent that loved them, who believed in them. Are you with me? There's literally in the natural, I could read out lists. If you talk people like Abraham Lincoln and people like that, they had people in their background, like a mum or a dad, who loved them amazingly and kept on saying, you can do it, son. You can do it, daughter. You can be amazing. And they stood in their corner. Our lives need this sort of love behind it. But every one of us as believers, we've got to understand that we have a God that is a heavenly Father, and we are New Testament believers. The Old Testament, they didn't have a revelation of God as their Father. Jesus opened the doorway to that. And you have access to what Jesus had. And Jesus got to a place where he said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me. Are you with me? And he would call upon his father. He'd spend time with him. And we've got that revelation over our lives. We've been involved and invited into that relationship. The heavenly father of the universe has invited you into relationships. So whatever dad you think you had, I had a good dad, but I've got a heavenly father over my life, which is so much more powerful and stronger. And he's 24/7. And he's always there. And I've got to know that he cares about me and looks after me and takes, he knows what I'm going in. He knows when my heart's breaking and when things aren't going right. He's there for me. Huge revelation. All right, so we're now going to break up into our groups and then we'll come back. So we know where the coach is. They know where you're going to go. Group one over there. If you're not, if you haven't been assigned to a group, we'll help you do that in a moment. But if all the coaches get into their spot, and then we're going to do some discussing, and then we'll come back. So we'll be a progress each other. The idea is that we encourage each other to grow and keep moving forward. Amen? Everyone needs encouragement. My son has started playing basketball, and you have a coach. If you want to grow and progress, and I'm really enjoying it, actually. They've only lost their very first game, because the very first game they played as a team, and they didn't even know each other, and they've won every game since. Yeah. And we've got this amazing coach. He's an American guy, and he knows all about basketball. And, you know, hopefully they'll never ask me because I know nothing about basketball. I'm learning. But coach works. And that's why we're trying to do something a little bit different. Maybe you come in to a church and you just sit there and you go. It's great. But we're trying to create this atmosphere where we get people to help you and encourage you to keep moving into the freedom of Christ. Amen? So we're just going to talk about growing up spiritually, growing up in love, and we will finish on time. 11 minutes, and I can do it. God's love is already in us. It just needs to grow. God doesn't expect you to be perfect when you come to Him. God's love, God is perfect. His love is perfect. But He wants that love to be spread abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that takes time. True? Like if you saw me the first day I got saved compared to now, there's been a little bit of change. I was a selfish so-and-so. And I'm sure a lot of you were if you had an unsaved life. But God just moves into your life and He begins to change you and grow you. And we've got to understand that when we allow God to do that, there's a lot you can just keep reading for yourself. But we have all sorts of selfishness. And we've got to allow ourselves to move in this love. And understanding that we have a perfect Heavenly Father is actually a good way to understand the love that we have on our lives. That's the revelation we need to have. John 13, verse 34. How did He love us? Because we deserved it? No. He loved us while we were yet unlovely. He loved us while you were yet sinners. You haven't... The whole idea of when you became a Christian, you responded to His love. His love has always been on you. His love is on every single person out there. Are you with me? He loves every single person, that whether they are saved or not. Salvation literally is a day where you turn around and you suddenly get this revelation that you have this Heavenly Father, you have this God that loves you, and you respond to that love. That's all it is. It's not like it's ever changed. He's always loved you and always will, and He loves everyone out there that isn't. So when we get saved, it's us responding to that love. So we're going to go into some characteristics of God's love, and this is a well-known passage. And really, when you look at this, it's perfect love. And this is the love that we can expect from our Heavenly Father. And this is the love that will start to grow in you when you allow God's nature to change. God's nature is pure love. Don't ever get polluted in your mind about God. That's why I get annoyed when it gets painted as just a God of judgment and a God of narrow-mindedness and all sorts of things, because it's not the God that I know. When you read this list of love, and this is a message version, so it's going to be a little bit different, it gives you an idea of how incredibly powerful the love of God is. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 11. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful, it takes no account of the evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffering wrong, it does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Isn't that good? Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. It is powerful. Now that That is the sort of love that God's building in our life. Now, I'm from my perspective, I've got a long way to go. My wife is pretty much almost there, Marianne. But outside of that, and a few other people that I know around here, Jerry's pretty much there. But for most of us mere mortals, we've got a long way to go. Is that right? So let's look at some of the characteristics. Love endures long and is patient and kind. I love this. A lot of people endure long, but they aren't patient and kind while they do it. Enduring is one thing, but being patient and kind while you're enduring is actually a huge challenge. Sometimes you've got no choice when it comes to enduring. You've just got to endure it. Just get through it. Get over it. But to be patient and kind, you can just... Have you met this grumpy? They're just mean and nasty. It's like their life is like, yeah, okay, I've got a tough time. I'm sick. I've got this going on. It's a hard thing, but they're just mean and nasty. But God's not like that. Don't ever put God into your perspective of love. You know, quite often I think we project how we feel onto God, but we're not projecting a perfect love. We bring our failings when we want to build, we're having a relationship with God. We do it through our eyes on how we respond. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's natural human love that is jealous. This kind of love doesn't boil over with jealousy. This is God's love. Be content. Be thankful. Jealousy causes us to mishandle God's blessing in our lives. True? It pollutes our world. But we understand we're talking about God's love. This is the perfect love. This is the love that's focused on you. Love is not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughty, is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride, is not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. You know what? When I think about this, when you think about sin, and God calls us not to sin, you've actually got to understand, if you understand the love of God, the reason he calls you to do that is because that is the best thing for you. It's to protect you. You know what I mean? I grew up kind of thinking, you know, when God said, don't do this, don't do that, don't have sex before marriage, don't do this, do it this way, do it that way, don't steal, don't do that, get involved in this. I just kind of thought, yeah, you're ripping me off from some of these things I can experience. But the reality is what God's saying, sin is missing the mark. So if there's a perfect way that's going to cause you the least amount of damage and the least amount of hurt and pain, God's created that pathway for you. And sin is actually when you step outside of that. And when you understand the nature of God, he's not ripping you off. He just designed you and designed everything, and he knows the best way for it to work. Come on. And you've got to understand, he's not judging you, trying to bring his condemnation on you and make you some weird little person that doesn't fit in with everyone else that's out there doing crazy things. He's actually just trying to protect your life. Give you a life that's worth living long term. The Bible says sin is fun for a season. And God knows that. And he's trying to protect us. Amen? Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffering wrong. So you can read some of this for yourself. It's very easy to find out whether you are walking in love when you begin to take account for the evil done to you. It's easy to have lists, isn't it? You meet that person, you think, yeah, you're smiling at me. I know what you did. You know, we just want to store everything. Well, it's good to know that God doesn't store everything against you. Come on. When you go into the throne room of God, God's not thinking there, oh, here she comes, Sheila. Yeah. You're meeting with me again. God's thinking, I know what you did. I know, you know. I can pick on Sheila because I think she's almost perfect. But you know what I mean? He doesn't think that way. Are you with me? He doesn't approach us like that. We approach people like that, so we project our way of approaching on God, but God doesn't work that way. Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's forgiving. Love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Amen? Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Someone said, just can't take it any longer. Well, love can. He's putting up with everything. He's putting up, he's taking all the, you know, it says when we sin, it says, how many times does God forgive us? It's limitless. We don't know. His love is that deep. Are you with me? That's how he projects us. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Oh. When God sees you, he thinks the best of you. You walk into the room, he's like, oh, Phil's here. Harry's here. He's not thinking, Phil's here. Harry's here. What do they want? You know what I mean? When you come into his presence, he's like, oh, wow. He sees the best in your personality and who you are and who you're called to be. That's the love that draws you. Love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. There's no end to God's love. You can't get fed up with you. You cannot break God's heart so he just does not love you anymore. It's impossible. His love is too perfect. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Prophecies will fall, tongues shall cease, and knowledge shall vanish away, but thank God, love never fails. 1 John 4:18-19, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him, verse 19, you don't have this, because he first loved us. You're no surprise to him. Nothing about you surprises him. He doesn't look at you with disappointment and disgust. He looks at you with love. When you read that list and that's God's nature, how can he? How can he be anything but in love with you? Amen? And that's your Father God. That's the love he bestows. And if you start to get to know him, that love starts to build in your heart towards those around you. That's what will change your world. That's what will change your marriage and your family and the relationships around you when you start to live and exude that. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. But it does happen. Simple as that. And when you have a Heavenly Father that loves you. That's it. Can I just pray for you before we go? All right. 1 minute over. 2 minutes over. God, we thank you. God, I pray for everyone in this room that they would have that revelation that they have a Heavenly Father who is gazing on them 24/7, who looks at them, God, with this love, with eyes that see this love, this perfect love. Those are the eyes. They're not eyes of judgment and disgust, but their eyes of love. And God, you look at us as if we are the only people on this earth. You have that ability to hear every thought, to look into our lives, to watch us. And God, whenever you see us hurt, God, I'm sure it brings pain to your heart, but you love us, God. And God, I pray for every one of us in this room that we would live under that revelation, whether we've known the natural love of a great Father or we've never known that we would open our lives up to the incredible, perfect love of you, our Heavenly Father. Just as Jesus had the privilege of walking this earth when he was God and man, and he lived under your love and lived under your protection and lived and called you his Father, his Heavenly Father. God, let us walk with that ability Let us feel your love and encouragement and protection over every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful. Thank you all.